The war over Ukraine isn't just being fought using guns and missiles. It's being fought with coal, gas and oil. Russian President Vladimir Putin hasn't made good on his threats to attack European countries supporting Ukraine, but he is trying to starve them of energy. Now it appears two undersea pipelines from Russia to Germany, Nord Stream 1 and 2, have been sabotaged, with seismologists reporting an explosion and images show gas bubbling on the surface of the sea over an area a kilometre wide. Jack Sharples is from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies and is our guest this morning. Jack, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
This sounds like something out of a James Bond movie. How strong is the evidence that these two pipelines have been sabotaged?
Well, I think, so first of all, we can't obviously ignore the fact that these pipelines are ruptured. There is gas leaking out of them. Clearly something has happened. Now, ordinarily, you might say that a breach in a pipeline like that could be caused by maybe a technical malfunction combined with excessive pressure in the pipeline, if you were being generous and saying it was an operational fault. But these two pipelines aren't actually being used to deliver Russian gas to Europe at the moment. So the Nord Stream 1 pipeline was actually taken offline at the beginning of September due to issues at the Russian end at their compressor station. And the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was never actually given permission to start operating. So the notion that these are some kind of operational faults just doesn't hold water. Then in terms of what might be accidental, something clearly external has hit these pipelines and ruptured them. But these pipelines have walls 4 centimetres thick, and they are coated with a further 11 centimetres of steel-reinforced concrete. So the notion that maybe a vessel went over the top of them and dragged its anchor over them and caused this, again, just doesn't really hold water. And then finally, we have to consider that there were actually two explosions resulting in three gas leakages across three different parts of this pipeline. And two of those events were about 75 kilometres apart. So again, it's highly unlikely that it was just one vessel accidentally somehow breaking one of these, which then leads us to suspect that there's foul play involved.
Mm. We're talking about a 4 centimetre thick steel pipe covered with 11 centimetre thick tube of steel reinforced concrete. Is there much besides an explosion that could do this kind of damage?
Frankly, not really. So then you start asking questions of, okay, so if it was deliberate, then you get into questions of who did it and why was it done. So just this evening, it's notable, by the way, for your listeners to get a sense of the geography of it. So the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines run from Russia under the Baltic Sea to Germany. And as they do so, they pass through the exclusive economic maritime zones of Finland, Sweden and Denmark. And very particularly, they pass close to the Danish island of Bornholm. And it's just close to Bornholm in the relatively shallow waters where these incidents have occurred. And the Danish Prime Minister spoke to their national media this evening, which was obviously the middle of the night for you guys, saying that they had already come to the conclusion that this was not an accident, but they weren't going to speculate further at this stage as to who might have done it.
Okay, so Russia has been accused of sabotaging its own pipelines, but a former Polish defence minister is blaming the US. So if we don't know, the question must be then, who stands to gain the most from sabotaging these pipelines?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, first of all, if you were looking to disrupt the flow of gas to Europe, then, you know, bombing these, you know, blowing up these pipelines doesn't really achieve that. But what it does do, and I think what people, you know, outside the energy nerd world in which I operate might not be aware of, there was actually a new pipeline in the region launched precisely today. You can call it coincidence or not, the Baltic pipe bringing Norwegian gas via Denmark to Poland. And so obviously the explosions on the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines raise security concerns about the safety of the Baltic pipe. If the Nord Stream pipes were vulnerable, does that mean that the Baltic pipe, which again is located less than 100 kilometres away and actually at a further point downstream crosses over the Nord Stream pipelines, could also be vulnerable? So in response to this, the Norwegian government have announced that they are stepping up all of their security measures around their offshore oil and gas installations. And I think as well, this has come on the same day as, you know, Luke mentioned earlier, the results are in these sort of sham referenda in Ukraine. And then finally, again, just, you know, something else related to this, Russian gas arriving in Europe now is delivered by one of two routes, via Ukraine and via Turkey. And the just today, Gazprom basically threatened the Ukrainian gas transit system operator, saying that if they pressed ahead with an arbitration case against Gazprom, that perhaps the Russian government could put sanctions on that Ukrainian entity, which would prevent Gazprom from delivering gas to Europe via Ukraine, which would be another chunk of Russian gas supply to Europe that would be cut off. So all of this happened on the same day, and I am not convinced it's all coincidental.
Yes, it's an incredible coincidence if it were to be the case. How difficult is it to repair these pipelines, given it appears whole sections have been destroyed? And who would that task actually fall to?
Well, that's a really interesting question. So if we think back to the Deepwater Horizon accident in the Gulf of Mexico, then it took, you know, obviously there the explosion resulted in a fire that took a long time to put out. Fortunately, at the moment, this rupture hasn't caught fire, and we have to hope that it doesn't. It's also in relatively shallow water, sort of around 80 meters deep. But the question of who is responsible, you would say first and foremost, probably falls on the owner of the pipeline. That's Nord Stream AG and Nord Stream 2 AG, in which Gazprom is the sole shareholder now, effectively. So it's primarily their responsibility, but they would have to work in tandem with the local national authorities. So in this case, the Danish government. And obviously, given the broader geopolitical context of relations between Russia and the rest of Europe at the moment, that appears to be somewhat tricky.
Europe is already facing a really dark winter of looming energy shortages and very high prices. How bleak is the situation they face, particularly given this emergence of the pipeline being damaged?
Well, certainly the situation in Europe, we have a very tight energy market at the moment with absolutely record high prices, which is proving worrying for governments all over the European continent. In terms of the supply that Europe gets from Russia, we've already lost most of it over the last 12 months for various reasons. And the fact that the Nord Stream pipeline is already not operational is part of that. So we haven't really got very much left to lose from Russia. But the gas deliveries via Ukraine is part of that. And so if you see the sort of the explosion on the Nord Stream pipeline as part of this broader sort of geopolitical context, then of course it's very worrying. I would say, looking ahead for Europe, you know, we've been putting gas into seasonal storage in preparation for the winter. Our non-Russian suppliers of pipeline gas, that's Norway, North Africa and Azerbaijan, are operating close to full capacity. And Europe is buying record amounts of liquefied natural gas as well. But of course, as we go into the winter, we're going to face increasing competition from buyers in Northeast Asia, which is obviously the primary market for your Australian LNG exports. And so I think we're really pretty much pinning everything on hoping for a mild winter and plenty of sort of voluntary curbs on demand to help keep the market balanced.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Jack Sharples, Oxford Institute for Energy Studies, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.